This is our number
10. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. On Tuesdays at 1:30, Dave Wyman joins us. And is the message I'm getting here correct, Sean?
That is.
Do I have, like, we have bonus time?
We have bonus time with Dave.
Bonus time, baby.
Bonus time with Dave Wyman? This is like Christmas morning for me. What's going on? So you're just
not
so
much.
Bored today? So bored you wanted to jump on a half hour early?
Well, Nicole asked me. I mean, if it had been anybody else, I'd have said no. But Nicole's, I can't say no to Nicole.
That's true. You're ubiquitous, though. You do regular things on John Clayton Show. Do you do regular things on the morning
show?
Would
you call me?
Station? What?
That's an old Homer Simpson. What'd you call me?
Do you do a regular hit on the morning show on your station?
No, I do not. That's I'm not up.
What about the noon to three show? Anything regular there?
No.
Okay.
Nothing
so it's
there.
Just Clayton.
Only regular
me.
Show.
Okay.
I do Clayton on Wednesdays. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't like to get into this sort of thing because nothing productive can come out of it. But which segment is more enjoyable for you?
Well, this one definitely is. The delay's been a little bit annoying because of the name that tune thing. But no, this is always fun. Get a chance to kind of, pop off a little bit, I guess.
I like that. Well, and you know what I've discovered? Because Brock has just become a crusader in favor of getting the economy reopened. And I'm learning that people love the newly controversial Brock Huard. And then you pop off. And you did pop off a little bit the last couple of weeks. And they like the controversial Dave Wyman, too.
Well, I don't think it's that political, I guess. I just think it's like more of a common sense. I mean, I work with people that are on both ends of the scale, and I'm not trying to say I'm in the middle, though, because anytime anybody says that, it's BS.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. No, you're not. Somebody told me that all the time, and it's like every position he takes is pretty much checks the box for left. So, it's just, to me, it's weird. And I'll say this. I watched Brandi Cruz. I was texting her that exchange with the governor there. That was interesting with Jay Inslee. I mean, gosh, I did not understand that at all. I mean, it's like. He was trying to draw some sympathy, like we're going to treat those people. No, we're going to treat them that way because they're at the most risk. That is, tell me if I got this right, Dory.
Yes.
Did he basically say that, hey, we're either going to open it up for everybody or not at all? Is that what he said?
Well, what he was saying was that, and it was so bizarre. But he said that the people who want to open it up want to put everybody who's 65 and older on a desert island where we will never hear from them again for the rest of their lives.
Right.
I haven't heard one person suggest that, but he just starts tossing out these little fantasies that he makes up as his opposition of thought. And let me ask you this, Dave, because you did you get your degree from Stanford?
Yes. Don't tell me he went to Stanford. Please don't tell me he went to Stanford.
No, he flunked out of Stanford. But he claims he claims that it was a money thing and that that's why he had to transfer in the middle of his freshman year to Willamette University. And I know not just you, but I know other people who have gotten into Stanford and to Ivies. And once you are accepted, money is not a factor. There's all kinds of financial aid and scholarships. But I mean, I knew a young woman. She interned with me at King Five, and she was as poor can be from a Texas family. And she got into Yale. And I asked her if that was going to be challenging financially. And she said, no, they will always find a way. Once you're accepted, they will provide you with the financial aid. And so when Inslee says that he transferred out of Stanford for financial reasons, I know that must mean he flunked out his freshman year. But nobody's ever questioned that.
Well,
is that a fair assessment?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I knew a guy that my freshman year that I know that somehow, well, I found one of his papers one time, me and my roommate, and we were reading it, and like, this is like fifth grade stuff. How did this guy get in here? And then there was some story that he had somebody take the SAT for him and everything. And so, yeah, the whole Stanford thing, I mean, look, I got B's. I got B's in communications, which communications was, it wasn't a dump. I mean, there were no dummy classes there, but it was probably the hardest. But I was also an All-American in a couple of different categories. So that, like, I spent a lot of time. I was a National Strength Coaches All-American, which means that I spent a ton of time in the weight room, and I spent a ton of time on football. But yeah, I found a way to get through, and, you know, and I felt like, it was one of those places where, you know, they were going to help you. And, you know, I went a couple of times to like a tutor or whatever that they had for Spanish, because I just couldn't get that one down. But, I felt like it was a place where they were going to keep you in there. And there's pretty much anyway, because once you get in, then they want to make sure that you stay in. So, but I don't know. And I don't even know if it has to do with his intelligence, you know, with Inslee. It's just a line of thinking that, you know, he kind of tried to play on people's emotions about, oh, these poor 60-year-olds. Well, I mean, if you look at the percentages, then Brandy, what was it, 90% of people over 60 are getting this?
Well, yeah, it was 91% of the deaths are 60 plus, but I did a deeper dive, and it's roughly 85% of the deaths are 72 and older. And while not to diminish any deaths that have occurred, but
you do not
destroy our economy for your and my kids for years to come because of this, and it just none of it makes any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, same here. And it's really interesting. My wife, I went to Safeway, which is the first time I've gone anywhere other than a mini mart down the road here where I know everybody. But I went to Safeway, and I went to Shannon and I went to Home Depot yesterday. And there are I saw like several older people that were like over the age of 60. I could tell they were older than I was. And just not wearing a mask and just walking around. And, you know, I don't care. I wore a mask because I don't want anybody yelling at me, because then I'll get angry and then there might be a fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just wanted to know what they were thinking. I was looking at them going, yeah, what's your thinking here? Like, are you just like, hey, forget it, I'm taking the risk, which is fine if you want to. But I'm sure a lot of people would say, well, you could be spreading it. So, yeah, the whole mask thing is really weird. That's something that I experienced over the weekend that I thought.
Yeah.
And I know that Brock said he got confronted by somebody, and he just said he chose not to wear one, right?
Right, yeah. Brock didn't wear one. And I always wear one in the store just because I want the path of least resistance when I go to the store. I want to go there. I want to walk in, grab my stuff, walk out. And I don't need anybody talking to me about a mask or no mask. And it is weird to me that there are some people who have decided to make no mask a political statement, because that just seems stupid to me.
Yeah, well, and the whole thing seems very political, but it's interesting. You know, I texted you this. I'm not sure if you read it, but when Trump got elected, there were a whole lot of things said. There were lots of conversations that went around that I heard firsthand. Of the game was, what would you do to get Trump out of office? And it was things like lop off my left hand, live in an igloo for a year. I mean, there were all, you know, go to prison. All of these things that were said that were answers were a lot more severe than staying home, you know, and trying to ruin the economy. A lot less severe. I mean, this isn't actually that bad. I don't have to drive, you know, I can still do my job. And if you're in the media, you can still do your job and everything. So I just think that's something to consider, because that's how people were. I had to talk one of my family members off the ledge. I told her, you probably won't be able to tell the difference whether he is president or anybody else is president. You probably won't be able to tell the difference if you just go through your daily life and don't read Twitter.
Yeah. So, what's so ridiculous, because, you know, I mean, Bill Maher last year said he would be happy to see us go into a giant recession because it would hurt his reelection chances. Well, that's exactly what's happening, and I don't believe that it's purely accidental. And yeah, like you just said, for 3.5 years, I've heard about how, you know, it's going to be Armageddon if this guy got elected president in 2017. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, other than this horrible COVID virus, there was nothing that even, you know, within light years resembled Armageddon. And now they're telling us, well, if he's reelected, it'll be Armageddon the next 4 years. And it's like, yeah, okay, Chicken Little, you know, we've heard enough of this, and none of it's making any sense at this point. So I don't know. So I decided this weekend that I would get out a little bit more. So, and you said the only place you've gone is the mini mart.
Well, yeah, until this weekend. Yeah, there's a mini mart down the street.
What do they sell that's such an essential?
I would rather not say.
Okay. We haven't allowed anybody in our house. And after one kid was staying with us, and then she went back with her roommates, and she hasn't come back. But we had friends over on Saturday, and we went for a beach hike with, you know, our Russ and Lori Simber, our good friends at the radio station. Yeah, we went for a beach hike at Richmond Beach, and there's a 216-step climb from the beach back up to where we were parked. And then we got takeout and sat on the deck, and it was like for the first time in 3 months, I felt normal for just a bit. And it's sad that, I mean, we're supposed to live, that we're on this earth to live, and just being sequestered and seeing, I love my wife, but just seeing the same, you know, person every day to the exclusion of the rest of the world. That's not how we're supposed to live, Dave. This isn't right. None of this is right.
Yeah, that's true. And that's true about your wife. And I'm sure she thinks the same of you. And I would say the same of my wife. Like, she sees me in all forms of basically disrepair these days. Long beard, long hair. Nobody gets dressed up ever. I've worn shorts and a T-shirt for every day, pretty much. Yes. I put pants on yesterday, Dory. I put on a pair of pants yesterday. But, yeah, I had to go to Home Depot, and I just felt like it wasn't shorts weather. But, yeah, it's you're right. It's been really tough, man. We're starting to kind of go stir crazy here. And look, my message wouldn't be, hey, look, everybody back in the water. But let's, you know, if we can do it in a way where we protect those people that are at most risk and get the economy going, like I've been saying, and this has been said before, there's more than one way to die from this thing right now. And economically, you know, there's all kinds of other things, which I don't want to sit and prey on people's, you know, sentiments and everything. But, you know, there's all kinds of like domestic violence and things like that where people are trapped at home. You know, there's, you know, alcoholism. There's, you know, people losing their jobs. There's unemployment. There's people not going to, you know, get regular checkups and things like that. And, you know, that's going to cause all kinds of problems. So, I mean, I feel like we're at a point like, hey, let's not be dumb about it. Let's not throw everybody out into the riptide, but let's do it carefully and start to get this thing back going again, man.
Yeah, agreed. The one thing I did yesterday was I was going to go just for, because I've been doing like 10 to 15 mile bike rides, and I just got on my bike, and for some reason, and you know, I've got a wimpy little e-bike now, but I use the lowest assist level, but it's actually very important when you're coming back from knee replacement. And I just started riding, and the more I rode, the more I wanted to ride. And I went to my childhood home in Ballard, and I ended up riding for 3 hours. I went 33 miles, which, considering where I am at this point in my rehab, that was pretty big accomplishment. Just a couple things I noticed. I rode on city streets with cars into Ballard, and loved it. No problems. Then I got on the Burke Gilman, which is a dedicated bike and walking trail. I hate the Burke Gilman trail. There are so many morons on the Burke Gilman trail. They have families stretched across and block the trail. You're going 15 miles an hour and you're yelling at them to, you know, clear the trail. There are people spitting. And that's something, if there's anything we got to get rid of in 2020, it's public spitting. I don't care how much you don't believe the whole coronavirus thing, but we got to stop the public spitting. That should be punishable by up to 18 years in prison, I've decided.
That seems a little bit severe there. You know what? I didn't even realize it, but as an athlete, I mean, coming off the field, I remember watching a couple of replays where I'm just spitting right and left on the turf, and, you know, it's just kind of what you do, and so I never even pay attention to what I'm doing.
Oh, it's disgusting.
As far as the spitting goes. All the things disgusting to get outraged about. That's a little out there, Dory.
What do you think? I don't need to see people spitting.
Oh, it's just looking at them spitting?
Anything. I don't know if there are going to be droplets of their expectoration floating into my face. And then all of a sudden I got what they have. And now I'm dead. How do you like that, Dave Wyman?
You sound like the kind of person that you've been rallying against.
Yeah, I know. I really am. Okay, let me take a quick time out here. This was just all bonus time with Dave Wyman. We'll get to all kinds of stuff that's going on in the world. And the artist is...
It's a cat. It's a cat who can't hear.
A Def Leppard. Wow, I'm going to have to give that one to you. Okay, Dave Wyman takes a 1-0 lead. I forgot we were playing. Okay, lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Is the lead singer named Rob? Rob something?
No, not Rob. No, no. There is an R name in the band, though.
Is it? He's now kind of that. They're known as a summertime band, and the front man has actually figured out a way to make a career outside of the band.
Yeah, he's on like Entertainment Tonight now or something.
Yeah. It's like chickpea. It's two syllables. Is it two syllables?
Does it have a number in it?
There's three syllables, no numbers.
Three.
Now we're playing charades almost.
These are bizarre questions we're asking.
Yeah.
No clue.
Wow.
I got a clue. I know it.
Do you?
It's, yeah. And
John, I don't think
they were
like,
No, they had a bunch of summertime hits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Oh, yeah. Just like Van Halen, just like Scorpions, just like AC/DC.
I don't want to torture our listeners. Yeah. Every listener already knows it. Go ahead, Sean. I'm so mad at myself.
Yes, this would be Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray. Sugar Ray, yes. See, chickpea. That's why I said chickpea. The cadence was very similar.
Yeah, Dory.
To chickpea.
Yeah.
In fact, if you think about it, sugar, five letters, chick, five letters.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you now.
Ray, three. No, I knew it was
That's enough.
But no, stop it, Dave. I'm trying to justify my ignorance. did you watch the, on Sunday, there hasn't been any live sports for months. And on Sunday, except for NASCAR and MMA, I guess. But Sunday, they had the golf match, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I watched the whole thing. I found it to be just tremendously entertaining.
Really? You watched the whole thing? Was it fun watching? Because I got texts from Jim and Bob and Maura, you know, my team, my radio team. They were saying it was kind of fun to watch Brady hack it up out there because he's like one of us, right? He's kind of a hacker a little bit, right?
Yeah. I felt like I could have beat Brady on Sunday out there. And he supposedly has an 8 handicap. And I don't know what I am now, but I'm like a 17. But yeah, he was just in the reeds every shot it saved.
Yeah. Well, right when I turned it on was when number one, when he hit the chip shot in from what, 120 yards out or something like that.
That was incredible.
Yeah. And then I love this about him. And that's the thing about it. Of course, it had three of my favorite athletes involved. One is Charles Barkley. And then the other two being Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, because I don't know if you've seen this thing called Peyton Places.
I record those.
The NFL. Yeah. He is fantastic. Peyton Manning is hilarious. It's not just the things he says. It's his timing. And how he goes about it, and he's hilarious, and so he's really fun to watch. I just think he's a good stand-up, awesome guy. And then Brady, you know, after he gets that shot in, he tells Chuck to be quiet, and then he starts talking about his wife and how much he loves her, and he loves his kids and everything. And I go, I love this guy, man. And I've been trying to tell people this because people in Seattle hate Tom Brady, and I'm like, why? This guy is the Go and look at his combine for all your non-sports listeners, Dory. Go put in Google or whatever your internet system and put in Tom Brady combine photo. Have you ever done this? Yeah.
You've shown
it's a picture
to.
Of. Yeah, so all of us had to do this. When I went to the combine, it was like a meat market. You had to go and stand in just shorts, nothing else, just shorts, in front of a bunch of old men who up on a stage, and they would sit there and look at you. So everybody had to do it. So, and I hope there's not a picture of me. Actually, I do hope there's a picture of me somewhere because I looked a lot better than I do now. But no, there's a picture of Tom Brady, and he looks like a drowned rat. And there's also, you can find video of him running a 40. He was drafted in either the fifth or the sixth round. And he is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. He's the best football player in NFL history. And I just think that there's nothing to not like about him. The other thing, too, about Tom Brady, I don't know if you've heard this story, Dory, but our buddy Paul Moyer was going to show his son, Nick. I think they were going down to like UCLA to kind of check it out because he was thinking about going and playing football somewhere. And he ran into Tom Brady working out. And Paul went down and introduced himself and introduced Nick to him. And he said he was as cool as could be, just down-to-earth guy. Said good luck to Nick. And he says, yeah, I got to get home. My wife wants me to watch the kids. And, you know, so, I mean, I just think with that guy, what you see is what you get. And he is easy to root for, and I love that he's going to Tampa Bay. I can't wait to watch the Buccaneers this year because Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
He's one of my favorite football players.
I have pulled up in front of me NFL Combine Results player page Dave Wyman. Unfortunately, it does not have a photo. But I have all your other stats here. You had a...
Yeah, I ran.
You, You had a 40-yard dash. Do you remember?
Yeah, it was crappy because I want to say it was 4.74.
4.79.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's no way. That's false. I know I ran faster than that, but I'm going to make an excuse right now, Dory. I'm going to whine, okay?
You were coming off a devastating, what should have been career-ending knee injury.
No, it wasn't right? that. After my knee injury, I ran like a 4.55, 4.6 at Stanford. The pros came and tested me, and then I played a whole year of football, and then I went to the combine. But the problem was at the combine, all the doctors, every single NFL doctor had to yank on my knee. And it went on for an entire day, and the next day I had to run a 40, and my knee was all swollen up because nobody could believe that my knee was repaired properly. So that's a really bad excuse. I ran pretty slow. But, yeah, it was just one of those things where some people performed well and some don't. And you see some of these guys that perform well at the combine, which I didn't, man, they'll jump up in the draft, especially back in the day when I played because, you know, there was not a lot of information out there. And if they saw a guy that just had this unbelievable, you know, performance. But if you look at Tom Brady's performance, oh, my gosh. I think he ran – do you have his 40 time? It's like a 5.
No, I'm just looking at your page. Just looking at your page. Do you remember what your vertical was?
Crappy. 30, 29, something like that.
29 inches.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Because I remember you telling me that when you were at your peak, you could stand underneath a basketball hoop with no running start and just leap up and dunk the basketball. Is that right?
Yes, those were back in the good old days, back when we were young.
So one thing I thought about with this golf match between Tiger and Phil and Manning and Brady, 6 million people watched it, which is gigantic for a Memorial Day weekend exhibition match. 6 million people watched it. There's an estimated 1 million Americans gambled on that golf match, which is undoubtedly what made it so popular. But I just wanted to make the point, in case people don't know, if somebody here in Washington State bet $10 on that golf match, you could go to prison with a felony for 10 years. You would go to prison longer than a child molester goes to prison, thanks to our Washington State legislature, which has the toughest gambling laws in the United States of America. 10 years in prison, Dave, if somebody had bet $10 offshore on that golf match.
Has anybody ever gone for that? I mean, who's been caught, and do we know what their sentence was?
No, because they say, well, we're never going to actually implement it, but it was done to give monopolies to their favored donors. What do we got here? Van Halen.
Sammy Hagar.
Oh. No, Van Halen.
Van Halen.
Oh, it is Van Halen. Yeah.
Wow. But it's Van Halen fronted by Sammy Hagar. I know I beat you at Van Halen. That's amazing.
I know. That's sad.
Hey, you know what? I have a Sammy Hagar story in the news today. I'm going to play that for you, Dave. Next, it's the Dory Monson Show with Dave Wyman rolls on. Cindy Lauper. No, Jewel.
Wow, good
Jewel,
job.
Jewel.
Who dated Jewel? Do you remember?
Who dated Jewel? Yeah. I don't know.
His nickname became Interception Jesus.
I don't know. Who?
Charlie Whitehurst.
Oh, I thought he was Clipboard Jesus.
Well, he became Interception Jesus later.
I did not know they dated. Dave, I have to be very efficient with our time here because I have two stories that I need you to comment on. Okay. First one, kind of a sad story. 65-year-old Craig LaMell, he told police that the horrible injuries he had been on a bike trail and three men jumped him and beat him And so that's the story he told police. And then he eventually died from his injuries. But right before he died, his employer laid him off and found a confession on 65-year-old Craig LaMelle's computer. It turns out he had not been jumped on this bike trail by three men. His 81-year-old lover, Alan Bischoff, had beat him in a sex game gone wrong. And a TV station went and talked to the 81-year-old guy. Whoop, we got audio here.
Walked down this bike trail last November. He later died from his wounds. Now police say they've identified his alleged attacker. And it turns out he wasn't a mugger. It's the man's former lover. And it appears that the attack was consensual. 65-year-old Craig LaMelle was beaten so badly he had to be hospitalized last November. He suffered severe head injuries that led to his death December 2nd. He told police he'd been walking on this bike trail in southeast Houston when he was attacked and beaten by three men. But with no identifying information, the case went cold. But then in April, there was a break after 81-year-old Alan Bischoff was laid off from his job. Company officials found personal emails on his office computer, according to court records. In one of them, according to those records, Bischoff...
Okay, anyway, it goes on. But he just describes what he did to the guy. What are you, 2 years younger than me? Are you 56, Dave?
Yeah. Yes,
okay.
I am.
In 25 years from now, can you imagine your life taking any sorts of twists and turns where you could be involved in any shenanigans like this?
You are a deranged person. Why would you play that for me? I come on once a week, usually for half an hour. Maybe we should go back to half hour. Right. Maybe
go back
to half an hour. I don't know. I think maybe an hour is too long for you. You're going to play that for me and then ask me that question. Hell is wrong with you?
Okay, do you want to hear what Sammy Hagar has to say about the coronavirus shutdown? Okay, here you go.
It's so overblown. Everyone's just trying to use it to some kind of political advantage and some leverage to get more power in some area. And it makes me sick, but I won't go there. But let me get that off my chest. Okay.
And he's decided he's not afraid anymore.
All of a sudden, I'm like, man, I don't have anything to do. I can wake up in the morning, just put on my bathing suit like I always do, mm-hmm. and not have to get dressed, not have to go anywhere. I started digging it a little bit. And then when I did, I slowed down enough to where I really thought about my age and about what could happen when I was still worried about this killing me, possibly killing me. And you know what I thought of? I thought, you know what? I've had the best life of any human being on this planet.
So he says he's just going to keep on living. I think that's a good strategy, Dave.
Yeah, oh my God. I have this album. I have the CD. It's Kid Rock.
There you go, baby.
There you go. You got me.
Hey, really quick. I have a poster that Sammy Hagar, my uncle, managed his money, and so he wrote me an autographed poster, a Sammy Hagar poster. It's somewhere in storage, and it says, Dave, kick ass on the goal line, or something like that. And he signed it. I got to
get that out of storage. Yeah, absolutely. All right, you can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7, Bob, Dave, and more, 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for the extra time today, Dave. That was fun.
All right, that was fun. Thanks. Except for that one story.
All right. Right. All right. Lots more. I know. Lots more straight ahead here at the Dory Monson Show.